Broadcasting from the Garden State, welcome to another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update, presented by Stark & Stark, a 100-attorney law firm with offices in Princeton, Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, and New York. The New Jersey Legal Update is a weekly podcast providing the latest information on legal developments impacting those living or doing business in New Jersey.
Good afternoon. My name is Aaron Buser, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Stark & Stark in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, and a member of my firm's securities practice group. Prior to becoming an attorney, I spent several years in the securities industry working for a major investment firm and also as a specialist trader on Wall Street. Today, I'd once again like to talk to you about the hedge fund industry, and the topic I'd like to address is the issue of hedge fund marketing. What are the do's and don'ts? The question here is, how can I sell interest in a hedge fund? And the basic answer is simple, very carefully. There are various rules and regulations you need to be aware of when promoting hedge fund or private funds, but this podcast is not meant to be all-inclusive and cover every possible rule and regulation you need to be concerned about. But rather, this is meant to provide you with a broad overview of the important points you need to know. As always, I welcome any follow-up questions you might have at the end of this podcast. I'll provide contact information for that purpose. Now, hedge funds and private funds are limited offerings, not public offerings. And as such, when you offer interest in hedge funds and private funds, you're offering non-registered securities to investors. That is, you avoid registration requirements under the 1933 Act by relying on an exemption available under Regulation D. And as such, when you offer these interests, you have to be aware of the private placement rules that severely limit what you can do to sell these units. Generally speaking, you need to have a pre-existing relationship with every offeree. What that means is you need to have some type of pre-existing relationship with any potential investor that you would consider offering this type of investment to. Theoretically, you can send your hedge fund offering materials to as many people as you have a pre-existing relationship with, provided that they meet the sophisticated investor requirements of an accredited investor. Now, the important thing to remember here is that when you sell these units or interest, you need to have very low-key selling efforts. You can't sell your interest through general solicitation or general advertisement. This prohibits any type of advertisement, an article, a notice of any other type of communication in a newspaper or a magazine or similar media, and this applies to any radio or TV efforts as well. Likewise, the rule prohibits seminars or meetings when the attendees have been invited by general solicitation or advertisement. Other things you need to avoid, well, you can't send out press releases or blind mailings, and you also can't send unsolicited emails to prospective investors. Now, here's the problem. The prohibition is very subjective, and it depends on a facts and circumstances analysis. So given this uncertainty and the potential for forfeiting the Reg D exemption, you need to be very careful to avoid specifically mentioning the name of your fund in any interviews or press releases. Now, I've personally counseled my hedge fund clients to avoid putting their name on a business card, their fund name on a business card, or having a voicemail message that says something like, "Thank you for calling ABC Investment Management, the home of ABC Hedge Fund." You want to avoid taking steps that might be interpreted by the SEC as a general promotion of your fund to the whole country or to the whole world. Now, even if you only direct solicitation efforts to accredited investors, you still need to be careful. Even a general advertisement to all accredited investors can get you in trouble, and this is something you need to be concerned with. For example, the SEC staff has suggested that a general solicitation may result if generic questionnaires are sent out to a large number of pre-screened potential investors, such as a group of doctors or other individuals who you perceive to have a high net worth. As I said earlier, historically, the SEC interprets the prohibition on general solicitation to require you to have a pre-existing relationship with potential investors. Now, how do you satisfy this requirement? Well, you can satisfy this requirement through the prior investment or other business dealings with potential investors. A pre-existing relationship generally involves at least some degree of contact between the issuer and the prospective purchaser prior to the offering. So you can run into trouble if you meet a prospective investor one day and 2 days later that investor is fully invested in your fund. While there's no set time frame on how long it takes to develop this pre-existing relationship, The shorter the time period between introduction and investment, the more likelihood it may be that you get into a problem. Now, here is something else to consider: the number of offerees, the number of people you make an offering to. Now, the rules don't impose a limit on the number of offerees, but you need to be careful where this number is high. Among other things, I'd recommend that you take the following precautionary methods when offering hedge fund interest. Number one, distribute your offering materials to prospective investors only after their accredited investor status has been established. Number two, you should number the copies of what you give out and keep track of the same. Keep your own list so you know who got what. Number three, distribute only to people at in-person meetings. Also, take efforts to limit the number of offering materials distributed. Don't send out hundreds or thousands. And finally, this is very important, require potential investors to return the offering documents if they decide not to invest. Your offering materials should include language that allows you to do this and which tells prospective investors that they must return the materials if they decide not to invest or if you reject their subscription. Now, some final thoughts. Don't use the internet as a tool to market, but if you do, you need to be very careful about how you do it. Under very limited circumstances, you'll be able to provide information to some investors through the use of a password-protected site. In this day and age of vast technology, the internet can be a great tool for promoting your hedge fund and keeping existing investors informed. And if you're interested in this, I'd be happy to provide additional counsel regarding the right way to do this and to avoid problems. If you have any questions about this or any other hedge fund or securities topic, we welcome your questions, and I welcome you to contact me at Stark & Stark. I can be reached directly at my phone number, which is area code 609-219-7435, or at my email address, which is acb@stark-stark.com, and that's acb@stark-stark.com. Thanks very much, and have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's installment of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark & Stark. And be sure to join us each and every Friday for another insightful discussion. We'd like to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Stark & Stark and the services we provide, email us at podcast@stark-stark.com.